Since 2015, terrorist attacks committed by people claiming allegiance to ISIS and al-Qaeda have led to an increase in Islamophobic sentiments and hate crimes throughout the United States. According to the New York Times, the FBI cataloged 6% more hate crimes in 2015 than in 2014, with attacks on Muslim Americans representing the biggest surge. And they appear to have increased since President Trump signed an executive order that prevents individuals from seven Muslim-majority countries from entering the United States. The Ahmadiyya Muslim Community, or AMC, is an organization that actively condemns terrorism while challenging Islamophobia, and I'm very pleased to welcome two of its spokespeople to our show now, Salam Bhatti, who is an attorney, and Nusrat Qadir, who is a writer. Hello.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Salam, didn't you post a video on Twitter about pronouncing Islam and Muslim correctly? For our listeners, what are the proper pronunciations? Did I do okay?
Oh, so the proper pronunciation is a soft S for both Islam and Muslim. You know, there's almost a war on vernacular. So if you say Islam or Muslim, it has this very negative vibe to it. So the actual proper pronunciation is just Islam and Muslim, a very soft sound.
The two largest arms of Islam are Sunni and Shia. Not many people know about Ahmadi Muslims. Isn't the Ahmadiyya Muslim population relatively new?
No, actually, it isn't. Our organization, in terms of its formal founding, was in the 1800s, and we are a sect of the Sunni sect. And so within that group is where the Ahmadiyya Muslim community falls.
From the Indian subcontinent,
yes.
India and Pakistan?
Yes. Our founder, Mirza Ghulam Ahmed of Qadian, received his revelation there, and we believe that he was the Messiah that was promised to the Muslims.
But we have heard about persecution of other Muslim groups from the mainstream Muslims, especially Sunnis. Have Ahmadiyyas faced that problem?
So the Ahmadiyya Muslim community is spread over 200 nations around the world. We have tens of millions of members and are guided by one spiritual leader, the Khalifa of Islam, His Holiness Mirza Masroor Ahmad. And in some nations, we are persecuted by the majority branches out there, especially like nations like Pakistan.
When did the Ahmadiyya community come to the United States?
We started here in 1920, actually right north of here in Harlem.
Mm-hmm. And how many do you know how many people you have in the United States now?
Yeah, in the United States, we have about 20,000 Ahmadi Muslims, which makes us the largest Muslim community in America.
Nusrat, how has the history of your community influenced tolerance of people from other faiths?
I think that the Ahmadiyya Muslim community has been essential in allowing me, in terms of being born and raised here, away from a Muslim-majority country, to understand how Islam fits in America. And I find it essential with the Ahmadiyya Muslim community's teachings to show for pluralism, tolerance, respect, and all of that there, especially the concept of salvation. I think sometimes that creates a level of who feels more dominant or better than another person. And the teachings of our community have allowed us to understand that God alone determines salvation.
Has the president's travel ban had an impact on your community? Because neither Pakistan nor India are included in the seven nations.
So we do have members who are from the nations as well that were listed on the ban. But it's led to a lot of turmoil within people saying, can I travel to Pakistan? Can I go to India? Should I get my green card? Should I get my citizenship as soon as possible? So it is affecting us, yeah.
Is it a problem as a community to explain yourselves every time there is a terrorist attack committed by a Muslim terrorist?
I think the thing is that I see it, as does members of our committee for TrueIslam.com, is that we see it as a teaching moment. And that's what this allows. Every time there is a situation, whether it's positive or negative, we're having the dialogue, and that's what's essential.
And where do you do these teaching moments?
Teaching moments are occurring within mosques throughout the nation. There's 74 mosques within the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, as well as college campuses online with TrueIslam.com. We have meetups with Coffee, Cake, and True Islam conversations, basically everywhere.
Where do those Coffee, Cake, and True Islam events take place?
Starbucks, for instance, we know we have one here in New York. We're on York, is
it? Yes, tonight at, I think, 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, yeah.
And anyone can attend?
Anybody can attend. And anybody who's outside of the New York audience can go to trueislam.com/events and find one near them.
You say true Islam. Do people debate whether there is such a thing as true Islam?
There is a big debate about that. And we are very adamant in saying that the 11 points we present on our website are what true Islam teaches versus what the extremists are trying to say their version of Islam is.
And extremists go on both ends, not just Muslim extremists, but extremists from the far right and so-called alt-right. A lot of the conversations that we have are with the alt-right that believe in those extremist conceptions.
When Timothy McVeigh bombed the building in Oklahoma City, almost immediately it was assumed that it was Muslim extremists.
Agreed. It's an unfortunate stereotype that seems to be permeate throughout America, unfortunately.
My guests are Nusrat Qadir, a writer and national spokesperson for the Ahmadiyya Muslim Community USA, also another spokesperson for that organization, Salam Bhatti, who is a practicing attorney. And as an attorney, Salam, have you been representing people that have been affected by the travel ban?
So I actually had the opportunity and privilege to go to JFK after the whole crisis occurred, and I volunteered with them there. There have been a lot of calls to my law practice about people wanting help, so we are starting to get an intake of people who need help.
And are you giving legal advice to people?
Yes, yes.
What's the makeup of your community? Are there many young members?
There are. It's spread across the board. And to
the typical generation gap that we see everywhere else?
Oh, always, always. That rings true no matter your religion or politics. We have auxiliary groups within the community for our youth, for both men and women, and for the older men as well. And what we do on our auxiliary level is so much outreach on college campuses and workplaces across the nation.
And what about using social media? As a writer, is that one of the places you go, Nusrat?
Yes, yes. Social media allows for responses, for articles, for comments. Twitter's one of my favorite, personally speaking, 140 characters to make your point. Facebook as well. And with the TrueIslam.com campaign, we're actually on all social media platforms, primarily Twitter and Facebook. And we have so many sometimes intense dialogue and conversation, especially on Facebook.
Yeah, our audience is over 50,000 people, and it's True Islam USA are the handles. But our volunteers behind these handles are phenomenal women. About 20 women operate these handles, and they're doing a great job.
That's right. Haven't you written a few pieces about hijabs and headscarves?
I have.
Why do you think they concern people so much? I mean, in France, they're illegal in all sorts of situations.
I think what it does is it makes us identifiable for our faith. And some people feel that in order to live in a secular society, that there should be no demonstration of what your faith is and everybody should look the same. Whereas I see the hijab as my identity. And to take it away from me, you've taken away a big part of who I am.
Well, people identify themselves by wearing crucifixes, by wearing yarmulkes, by wearing all sorts of other things that identify themselves as members of one religion or another. Do you think hijabs are pretty much the same sort of thing?
I would have to say yes, they are. They are used as a representation of faith. It's a modest attire that women place and do so lovingly and daily. And men also wear caps in the Muslim community. So I think the distinguishment, the fear that people might have, first, they're probably looking at someone who's different, or they might wrongfully assume that we're oppressed when it's actually my symbol of freedom. It shows me that I'm above and beyond anything of a stereotype of what people might expect of me.
So tell us about your Meet a Muslim campaign. What does it involve?
So the Ahmadiyya Muslim Youth Association, whose Twitter handle is Muslim Youth USA, is taking to the streets. You know, 62% of Americans don't know a Muslim. And so what we're doing is we're making sure we can decrease that number. We take a whiteboard, we go on the streets, and it says on there, meet a Muslim, ask us anything. And we're having these conversations with people who have never met a Muslim.
No, that's mostly, I assume, in urban areas.
Urban, we have a lot of college campuses going on. And urban areas where the most foot traffic happens.
And how have some of the young men who participated in the campaign felt after they've taken to the streets? Have some of them been yelled at?
The results have been overwhelmingly positive. So for every hater you might have, you have 100 lovers. And those lovers keep us going. We'll have people who are, you know, Muslim youth who are maybe not coming to terms with their faith right now. They don't know how to be perceived as a Muslim American. But when they come out, they get invigorated by the positivity that they receive. And so it makes them stronger Americans and stronger Muslims.
What are some of the common questions you get asked by non-Muslims who'd like to know more about your religion?
I think Sharia law is probably the biggest question lately, especially
with the
travel
ban. Well, why do you think that there are
ban?
People who believe that Sharia law is being imposed in parts of this country when there's absolutely no indication of something like that happening?
I think there's a strong movement against Islam. There is a very strong anti-Islam movement that does go around and play on cultural examples and try to say that this is the religion, and it's taking it to locations that just create fear of the unknown. And that's why the campaign, the TrueIslam.com campaign and Meet a Muslim and all these activities matter, so that we can get rid of this fear.
Salam, what are some myths or stereotypes about Muslims that you would like to dispel?
That Islam oppresses women. There is nothing in Islam that oppresses women. Unfortunately, there are cultures out there that have a practice of this. But Islam actually lifts women up. You know, at a time when women were being killed and traded, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, came and said that paradise lies at the feet of your mother. And to elevate women to that high status, when even today housewives are looked down upon for staying at home, I think that's an amazing thing.
So what are you saying, that sometimes people confuse local customs for overall Islamic beliefs?
Yes, I think there's cultural practices that people believe are Islamic practices. And rather than being able to differentiate between the two, anything that's negative, they automatically presume it's religion versus the actual cultural aspect that the religion came for to make sure wouldn't happen. I would also like to add that, you know, with Sharia, just to be very clear, that the Sharia requires us to believe in the law of the land. The Constitution will always supersede Sharia. Terrorism isn't allowed in Islam. Jihad is a personal struggle, like getting here today on time. That was my jihad. I think people need to understand what these words mean.
On the other hand, assassin did come out of Islamic terrorism in another time.
Right. The Hashashins were people who probably happen to be Muslims, but just because somebody is a Muslim doesn't mean they should be conflated with Islam. For example, Saudi Arabia. A lot of people look at the news coming out of Saudi Arabia and how they oppress women and don't let women drive, but they don't look at the Muslim-majority nations where Muslim women have been prime ministers and leaders. So they'll take these facts and
like
spin
Pakistan.
Them.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
So what advice do you have for Muslims who are struggling as a result of the current political climate?
You know, over the summer when I left my mosque, SUV rolled by and slowed down. The window came down slowly, and I thought I was going to get shot at this point. But instead, I heard an expletive and then terrorist. And they, you know, screeched away laughing. And this was a moment for me where I said, okay, let me just stop what I'm doing. I'm just going to be a closet Muslim and get to work with my career. But this was an emboldening moment for me in saying, like, we need to open the doors to our mosques wider than before. So if you're a Muslim American and you're young out there and you don't know how, where to go, don't face that identity crisis. You can be a proud Muslim. You can be a proud American. And there's nothing disagreeing those two.
And in our for the ladies auxiliary, we have on a monthly basis where we are discussing with the youth what they're experiencing and doing role playing and talking to them and trying to get them to feel empowered in perhaps a time when they're not feeling as much. We also have our worldwide spiritual leader, Mirza Masroor Ahmed, who resides in London. And our youth are very connected with him. They can write, they fax, they visit, and they find a lot of encouragement with it, especially with his weekly Friday sermons.
And how can people get in touch with you if they have questions about Islam?
Oh, come join us on our Twitter and Facebook handles at True Islam USA, or come in person. Go to trueislam.com/events. We'd love to see you at a coffee
meetup. And you mentioned there's one tonight. Where?
There's one tonight up on York Street. There's a Starbucks up there. And there's one in Queens as well, in our mosque on 188th and McLaughlin.
And on Friday in New Jersey, nearby here in Clifton, for any of our Jersey people.
Since they're at night, I hope I can drink decaf. Nusrat Qadir Salam Bhatti, thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.